Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Can we read out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18? And just let me give you a 15-minute devotional and encourage you and remind you that God's power for us is for the living. That we have everything within us given to us by the Lord to be more than overcomers. That this situation that I've been through in my life and the things that you've gone through in my life, I'm certainly not minimizing things that you have done, because I know that we've all had our shares of struggles. And I don't consider anyone more major than the other, but they're all very personal to each other. And so we know the pain we went through, but I don't want to minimize and somehow grandize my experience as with a transplant over your situation that you may have gone through. But we all go through things in life where we need strength to carry on. We all need to be encouraged on a daily basis. Sometimes you suffer through silence. I don't even know that you're hurting. I've gone through things in my home that I've never wanted to bother the church about. People that you know, sometimes you don't find out until after that they've been through the storm, that they tell you, listen, I just got back from a horrible journey. I was so sick, or something tragic happened in my life. And you go, wow. And so all of us, point being, is that all of us need strength at one time or the other in life, because life isn't always easy. Can you say amen? Life can be very difficult. Life can be stressing. Life can be painful. Life can be very trying. But what is beautiful to know is that God has made it so you and I have the ability, by the strength that He offers us from deep within, to be able to live out that plan He has for us, which is to be more than overcomers. This is why I'm standing here. You know, they asked me the other day that if I was so happy serving the Lord and giving Him praise because I did well with my transplant. I said, because I did well in my transplant is not the reason I give Him glory. You see, God has been worthy of His glory way before my transplant. Amen? I don't shout hallelujah and give praise to the Lord because I got all greens on my blood test. I've been giving God praise even before they even thought I needed a transplant. God has been worthy of His praise before the beginning was the beginning. Amen? He has been worthy of that. And so today we are here to give Him glory. And yes, we give Him thanks because we've overcome a lot of storms in life. But that's not the main reason why we give Him glory. We have been giving Him glory even way before the storms came. Amen? He has been worthy of His praise. Can you say amen this morning? And God has made it so that you and I live in that world, in that place, in that on that platform of overcoming because of things He has provided for us. And I want to make you aware, and I'm going to be mindful of the clock here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. That says a lot. That's a sermon all in itself. Let me read that again. Some of you maybe have never read this passage, but this is for you. This is the apostle praying that God would enlighten the minds of every believer to a great truth that sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, because of the way we live our lives, sometimes so downcast and hopeless, and everything that flows from our mouth is nothing of encouragement, but it's always woe unto me. Here, Paul finds himself in the middle of some people that feel that way, and he prays this prayer. He says, I pray that also the eyes of your heart, not your mind necessarily, not your physical eyes, but the eyes of your heart, that you could truly understand, he says, that you may be enlightened in order that you may know, listen to the language, the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know the hope which He has called you and the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. He goes on with such descriptive language. He says, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, now He gives you an idea so that now not only you know of the power, but you can find something that will exemplify that power, something you can compare it to. You might, if he had stopped right there, you might have the question, what kind of power? And power for what? And how great a power? So he answers the question. He seems to know what you're thinking and what I'm thinking. He says, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above. Now listen to the description of this authority he's talking about. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age. Now he's speaking longevity. He's not speaking of a power that's seasonal. Well, it's been a good year, or we went through a good spell, as we like to describe our lives sometimes. Well, this year, the first part was good, and the second part, not so good. It was nice and bright at the beginning of the year, but it's now dark and rainy and thunderous this fall. He is clear to help us understand that this power he's describing to us is perpetual. It does not fluctuate. This is why he said, praise be unto Christ who always responds to us in our prayer. They're always yes and amen. Every single time. And so he goes on, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the ones to come. He just brought us all in. He just brought us all in, this promise. Not only in the time he was living, but today too. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything, that is Christ, for the church, which is his body. The Lord gave all authority to Christ because Christ was the Lord of the church, his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We see conveyance now. We see an inheritance now. How the world has failed and how many times we fail, even during the day, to ignore the fact that you and I have the authority to not live as victims, but to walk as victors in this life. To know that whatever comes against us, we have authority in Christ to live a life of overcomers. I heard of a young boy who was said to have gotten saved. He walked into the church one day, and he got radically saved. And so he started attending church every Wednesday and Sunday, and every opportunity that the church was open and there was ministry going on, he would come into the church, and he sat there for several months listening to the pastor, a very well-prepared, structured message he would receive every time. But after about 6 or 7 months, the young boy began to get bothered in the church. And he would get a little antsy, and he became a lover of God's word. He had been reading so much of his newfound joy in Christ. And so he'd come to church to grow more even in the scriptures. And so he'd sit there in the pew, and the pastor again would preach so eloquently, and he was listening. And finally one day he couldn't stand it. But after service, he walked up to the pastor and said, "Pastor," he goes, "Yes." He says, "When are you going to start doing the stuff?" He goes, "Come again?" He goes, "Yeah. When are you going to start doing the stuff?" He goes, "What stuff?" "The stuff that the Word of God talks about. You know, the healing, the baptizing in the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, salvation, how addicts are made free, and how the sick are made well, the blind see, and the dead are awakened." He challenged the pastor. He looked at the church body. He looked at the church and how it was functioning. And everything was right. But what was lacking in the eyes and the mind and the heart of that young boy, according to Scripture, was the power. The power to do the things that Scripture said that you and I should be able to do. The way that you and I should be able to live. Now, I don't know where you find your courage to face life's problems. If it's society's way, well, we've been taught to be positive thinkers. That if you become like that little train that thought he could, you might. Yeah, we live in a world of self-helps. To start saying things like, I know I can do it. I know we'll get it done. Or encourage someone without much but saying, just do it. And it's all in good faith to be able to encourage them. Now, please understand, I don't have anything against that. I'm certainly not one that appreciates people who are always negative in their speech. It's always good to have someone who's saying, you know what, you can do it, so just do it. Versus someone who said like, well, now we're down the tubes here. We're certainly not going to survive this one. So I get the mentality. But it's still all self-dependent. It's a philosophy of self-helps in our society. It's what they offer. A man said one time, when you offer the world self-helps, it's like a runaway ship in the middle of a torrential tempest in the ocean. And his idea of salvation is to lower his anchor on the deck of his boat. That doesn't make any sense, does it? To have a boat that's going crazy because of the crazy tempest out in the middle of the ocean, to receive advice from someone and say, well, lower your anchor. And where do I put it? Put it on top of your deck. An anchor will never work on top of one's own deck. And the idea behind that is that it'll never work if we begin to rely on ourselves. The anchor has to go deep. It has to hold on to something stronger than the tempest. It has to be long enough and strong enough to be able to hold and steady the ship that is going awry. And God wants us to understand that. This is the same principle in us trusting ourselves. When we go through our own difficulties by ourselves, trying to anchor our own ship on top of our own deck. The fact of the matter is, you and I will never have enough courage or perseverance to accomplish everything. Now, there may be things that we might be able to do. But there are things that we will never be able to without God's power. Can you say amen? We are already dependent on God, whether we accept it or not, believe it or not, or even recognize it or not. We're already dependent in everything we do and everything we are, everything we experience in our lives, all the way from breathing, the ability to wake up in the morning, the ability to be able to move out from your home and continue to work. All of these things are dependent on God. Has nothing to do with you. The only thing you do is put in a little effort, but God does all the providing. Amen? That's what God wants us to understand. John 15 and 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. And so Paul prays that all of us wake up and understand the incomparably great power for those of us who believe. What exactly are you talking about, Pastor? What things has God especially given us His power for? This incomparable power for. Can I give you just a couple of things in the next 5 minutes? Number one, you'll never be able to serve Him without His power. I know this doesn't sound like divine revelation to some of us here, but if you'll consider how many times you fall and you stand and you fall and you stand. If you'll just think of the realities of how many people around us in the church, from one moment being on fire to another moment living a wayward life as if they never even met God. You wonder sometimes, and why this person, remember he was in church and man, he was part of the worship team, or he was part of the teaching class, or he was part of this ministry, or he'd always run to the altar first of all. He was on fire, but all of a sudden, he's lost his way. Why do things like that happen in the lives of believers? It's because simply, ladies and gentlemen, that we forget that the power of God is something that we should be pursuing on a daily basis to be able to keep us living for God, doing things for God, following God. We cannot do it for ourselves. Those who have tried have failed. They fall and fail in their progression towards God. And then we end up making mistakes for our own weaknesses. And we say, well, nobody's perfect. Or everybody makes mistakes. And we begin to apologize and somehow come out with excuses as to why we can't stand firm in the Lord. Why we have no continuance, no fluidity in our walking with God. And I'm sure God understands the fact that we are finite, limited people. And there are times in our lives where we do weaken a little bit in our legs. But to stand before God and say, well, I'm not perfect. Or God, you know that all of us fall. It's not going to be a good enough excuse for the Lord when God knows He gave you everything for godly living. Amen? So what excuse do we have when we cannot walk faithfully before the Lord with any kind of continuity? It's that we forget that the only way we're going to serve Him faithfully on a daily basis until we see Him face to face is by relying in that incomparable power. The Bible says that this power is able to sit us up with Christ in heavenly places, but it also gives us the power to stay. We panic when we fail. But if you'll take time to consider why we fall, I promise you that more times than not, you'll find that it's because we stop seeking the power and the presence of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1 verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always. In every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Who will perform it? God. God. He said, God will finish his work in me. And so you and I, ladies and gentlemen, what God would have us to understand this morning is that this power He's given us for the living is also staying power. It gives us the ability to serve the Lord faithfully without interruption. God possesses that power. The Bible says that it's far above all rule and authority and dominion, giving you anything and everything for godly living. This is why Paul said confidently, he said, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Second thing, we need the power of God on a daily basis, ladies and gentlemen, because without Him, we'll never be able to truly have faith in Him. This is something this will work on the inside if you receive this word from the Lord. The Bible says that God gives us that measure of faith. Every single one of us, are given that gift of faith. But what we do with it and how we nurture it is going to depend is that faith is really going to work. And the only kind of faith that will help us keep on keeping on is going to be faith that is nurtured by God. You might remember that gentleman who had a son who was possessed. And the Bible says that this ugly spirit would throw his son in the fire. The disciples tried to work with him, but they couldn't do a thing. He finally came to Christ and he brought his son, and the Lord fixed him up. And the Lord said, you know, what's impossible for you is possible for God. For God, there is nothing impossible. And he cries out in Mark 9 and 23 and 24. After Jesus saying everything is possible for him who believes, immediately the Bible says the Father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. This is a man crying out, said, Lord, I'm having trouble believing in you. Help me, Lord. God doesn't expect us to believe on him on our own merits and strength. He wants to see in us an effort. He wants to see in us a willingness to submit, to believe and trust in him. But he knows that in ourselves we have nothing that will ever be able to anchor us and keep us with God on a faithful basis. This is why Paul prayed again. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being, to be able to believe and to trust in him. How do we grow our faith? How can we grow our faith? We grow our faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. We've spoken a lot about the Holy Spirit in the past few weeks. Amen? He's the perfect help to us. He's a suitable helper. Any time of our need, he's there to help us through things. When you're having struggles and you're having trouble moving forward and trusting in the Lord, when you need that faith, you can trust in the Holy Spirit. This is why, Paul, I pray that from your inner being, in your person, the power through his spirit, he would be able to strengthen you. In us, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that we are the temple of the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Bible says that we are sealed by the Spirit of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 1:22. In the book of Jude, we are told to build ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are convinced to believe and to have faith in God. Now, some of us have learned how to walk in step with the Spirit of the Lord, but I dare say that maybe possibly in this house, there might be some of us who are controlled people, that are people that like to be in control of their lives so much. Anytime that God wants to push you forward towards something that will increase your faith, you tighten up and you resist the moving of the Holy Spirit. You tighten up and you hold on to the reins of your life, and you won't allow God to train you to grow and to have faith. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, in order for your faith to grow, God must fill you with that power, and that power must be able to cause him to have his way with you, to have him do what he pleases in your life, to cause you to move forward the way he wants you to move, to allow him to fulfill his desires in your life. And by this, faith will begin to flourish. Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, he said, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. That is faith. And hope, faith, trust does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, we'll never be able to truly trust God unless we walk and we hide under the power of his word. Unless we allow the power of God to move us, we'll learn how to trust him, to believe him, to be comfortable in letting him do as he wills in our lives. How can we grow our faith? It's through his word. When I think of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I find it difficult to think that the Holy Spirit can do anything in our lives when we are ignorant of God's word. When we don't know God's word, when we have no interest in getting into God's word. Ephesians 1:17, again, Paul prays. He prayed for the Ephesians' enlightenment. He said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom, he says, and revelation, so that you may know him better. He prays that we become enlightened with God's word, that we begin to know who he is. When you begin to know who God is, you begin to grow in your faith of him. Romans 12:2, he said, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, what you feed your mind. We need to let God's word begin to feed our minds and our hearts. Then and only then, the Bible says, we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is for us, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Faith. How else, and I'll finish with this, can we grow our faith? How else can we tap into God's power? This is something I believe all of us need to hear, because this certainly, I believe, can easily become a forgotten art, if you will, in the church, or practice. And that is through the prayers of the church. Through the prayers of the church. I ask you to weigh yourself this morning on an honest scale before the Lord and ask yourself, how often do you pray for your brothers and sisters? How often do you pray over your wife and children? How often do you pray for your pastor? How often do you pray for the body of believers? How often? Being honest with yourself. I don't hear your thinking, but God does. I don't see your honesty, but God does. And the question is important. It really is, because we don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, how important us praying for each other really is. If you find, you look at Scripture, you'll find testimony after testimony where the prayers of others caused others to gain the power of God to carry on. We've grown so accustomed to say, I'll be praying for you, and yet we never do. We're so accustomed to telling people, yeah, be sure to pray for me. Yeah, sure will. And you never do. It's on a rare occasion. It's almost a sin to tell somebody you'll pray for him, because he may walk or she may walk away, or they may walk away with confidence and say, I know someone is going to stand in the gap for me. But yet that person that made that promise forgot it as soon as they turn around and they said goodbye. Ephesians 6 and 18, Paul was expecting the prayers of the saints. We find in that scripture, Paul was expecting the saints, the prayers of the saints in Ephesus, to help him discover the power to do what he is called to do. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, he says. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints, he says. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You realize what he's praying? I need you to pray for me. I need the power of God in my life. I need you to pray for me. And I wonder sometimes when I think of this, how much has been lost because we have not been faithful in praying for each other. How many Christians around us have been weakened and are dying spiritually around us because we've never bent a knee or taken a time, a moment to earnestly intercede and pray for them. Every pastor in this valley and around the world, those who bear the name of Christ and who preach the gospel from their pulpits need the church's prayers. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, I need your prayers. I do. I need your prayers. Every church needs to pray for their pastors. For every pastor that is preaching this morning in his church, the church has a responsibility to lift them up in prayer on a constant basis. This is what Paul is praying. Pray for me so that when I stand behind that pulpit and declare his truth, that God may fill me with his power so that I don't shrink at the face of adversity and those that want to kill me and stop me. That I might be able to be clear-minded to hear the voice of God. That I might declare the virtues of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I need your prayers. But just like every pastor needs the prayers of the church, every church needs the prayers of the pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, you are prayed for. And I stand in the presence of the Lord and I tell you that for the past 30 years of our relationship, I've prayed for this church on a daily basis. I may not know you all very well by name. There's many of you. But I promise you that in the flock of people that have gathered here, I always dip you deep in my morning and evening prayer. I may not know what you're going through in your life, what you're hurting with, or what you're rejoicing over, but my prayer is constantly, Lord, for everyone who's walked through the threshold of Rock of Ages, Father, those who have missed and I've not seen, for everyone who calls you, Lord, that gathers in this house, Father, I speak blessing over them. Cover them with your precious blood. Provide for them financially. Provide for them materially. Provide for them spiritually, Lord. Help them bring their children home to be saved, Father God. Bring their children, grandchildren, grow them up to worship you, Lord. Bless them, Father. Allow yourself to become more clear in their hearts and minds. They might be able to trust you and believe you so that when you come, Rock of Ages will be emptied of every soul and we'll all have church in heaven. Hallelujah. Every day I pray for you. Every day I pray for you. If someone is sick, Lord, bestow your hand of mercy upon them and heal them. Prayer. That's how you find the power of God many times, is by people praying. Then we wonder when we see a pastor fall short or we see a Christian give up. Now, I understand. Let me just say that we understand that people make their own choices. The Bible teaches us that we could never say that God tested us or tempted us, but some, you know, the sin that we walk into many times is our decision. But God forbid, ladies and gentlemen, that we would have someone around us weaken because we've not prayed for them. Oh, it's a good place to say amen. We need to pray for each other. Mighty things happen when the church prays. If you read a little bit in Scripture, you'll find out that it was men like Peter who were released from prison as a result of the church praying. Acts 12 and 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And the Bible tells us that he was set free. I find that story, if I can just take a couple of more minutes of your time, just to drive this point home. I find this story quite comical, not because he was imprisoned, I'm sure hurting and in a terrible place, but I find it awesome to read the story, and you should in Acts chapter 12. You read this whole story, and if you read carefully, you'll see certain attitudes and things that were happening in the church that would make you giggle a little bit, but it really describes us. You know what I see in this whole story here of Peter being in prison and being set free? It was funny because even Peter, when the angel of the Lord came to draw him out of the prison, he couldn't even believe it. He couldn't believe it. It wasn't until he went, the Bible says, through his first and second guard, and they brought him out of the prison, and he kind of woke up from it. He goes like, hey, I'm out of prison. Surely the Lord must have sent his angel to set me free. And then furthermore, this is not only him. The Bible says that he goes to the house where the church was meeting in prayer, and he knocks on the door. And one of the ladies comes to the door and looks through the peephole. He goes, hey, it's Peter. And she runs back to the believers who were praying in all kinds of faith. And they said, you're out of your mind. He's in prison. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that Peter was standing outside of their house. You know, and sometimes as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, I guess this is a call for me to tell you, when we pray, let's start believing that what we pray for will happen. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's start believing. Let's start believing. Amen. They said you're out of your mind. It's kind of interesting to see. Sometimes we pray without expecting things to truly happen. This is a story of this church that was in this particular city, a small city, and this businessman came in to that little city of maybe a few hundred people, and he decided to build a tavern, a bar and grill in the middle of that city, and the biggest building until that moment was the church. So it was dominant in the city, and they really prided themselves in the fact that it was a church-built city. But he came and he built a tavern right in the middle of the city, and obviously to draw every sinner they could and everyone who they could come and fool into living that lifestyle. And the church got angry. How dare this man come and build this tavern in the middle of our city? So they began to pray. They began to pray, and they began to pray. And right at the grand opening, the story says, when they was just about to open and cut the ribbon and let the city in, those who were willing to go into this bar and grill and get into the dancing and everything else that was going on, a fire started in the building, and the building burned down. And they were elated that it burned down until they found out that the bar owner was suing the church. And the claim was, when they went to court, the tavern owner said, "These people are guilty. They're the reason my tavern burned down." And the church railed up and said, "No way, we never even went close to the place. We never even went there. No, it was because of them that my building burned down, my business burned down, so I'm suing them." And they kept arguing, "No, no, no." So now the verdict was going to come, and they asked the judge, "Well, judge, what's the verdict on this?" And the judge looks down, he says, "Gosh, I don't know. All I know that I'm between two people. One, a tavern owner that believes in the power of prayer, and a church that doesn't." The tavern owner believed more in the power of prayer and the church itself. Let's start praying and believing. We'll find the power of God. Let's start praying for our pastors. Let's start praying for our friends, for our brothers, our sisters at church. Let's start praying for our family members, for the lost, the sick, the hurting, and the unsaved. Let's pray for each other. Some of us may weaken along the road, but never let it be because we did not pray for them. I believe God will take that very personally. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 and 24, "Let us consider always how to provoke unto love." Consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting, that is strongly advising, strongly counseling, motivating, spurring, inciting people all the time, encouraging them so much more as we see the day approaching. I need you to pray for me. And I commit myself in the presence of the Lord to pray for you. Would you stand with me? The power of the Lord is for us, for the living. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9 reads, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." That means that God is looking right now, moving about the airwave, looking for someone whom He can give His power to. God is looking for someone who is committed to Him, who will love Him, where He can pour out of Himself to empower us to have faith, to believe, to walk in victory. Church, I pray, let it be us. Let it be us. You see somebody weakening, pray. Do everything you can to provoke them, incite them, encourage them to get stronger in God and to walk forward. The power of God is amongst us. It's deep within us. And it's been given to us for the living.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.